of course, the NFC championship game last year, Philadelphia and the Niners. And Brock Purdy went down, and that game was pretty much over. But now we look forward. We don't look back. And what I wanted to do, Rami, here is to take a look at some of the teams that we believe could be threats. Could be threats in the NFC for San Francisco and Philly. And then put a threat level number on them. 0 to 10.
Okay.
Okay? So
can we call 10 threat level midnight?
You can call it whatever you'd like.
Cool.
Whatever your heart desires, go for it.
That makes me feel good.
All right, so do we have any kind of NFL music bet or anything to support Rami here? There we go. All right, Rami.
Oh, can we start the season now?
Did Whitey call you Roms the other day?
He did.
Roms.
All right, Roms.
Simone throws a Roms
around. I do too,
every
yeah.
Once in a while.
Roms.
Roms. All right, the Dallas Cowboys, Roms.
On a scale of 1 to 10?
0
on
to 10.
On a scale of 0 to threat level midnight?
Yes.
I would say the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know, man. They're hard to figure out. I don't have a lot of faith in Mike McCarthy, the play caller, and he took over those duties this year. But that is just such a talented roster that they almost cancel each other out. I'm going to put them at like a 6, which is just above, like really not a threat at all. 1 through 5, I mean, you're not really a threat. Once you crack that 5 threshold and get to a 6, that's where I see you in the rear view. You know what I mean? You're way, way back there.
Yeah.
But I see you in the rear view, and you have my attention.
It's funny. I had them at 6 as well. That's the number I had them pegged at. They're very talented. A lot of talent on the team.
Such a talented roster.
Don't trust Mike McCarthy. Do not think he's a very good coach. Pretty tough division. If they get in, likely a wild card, which makes their road very, very tough. So I would put a 6 on Dallas. Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota, I don't see them as much of a threat at all. I really like their head coach, Kevin O'Connell, and I think they took a big step forward last year, and he really got the best, I think, that we've seen from Kirk Cousins since getting to Minnesota. But I just don't think you get better losing a Danielle Hunter, who is still not in camp for the Vikings, and a Dalvin Cook, who I know didn't have great numbers last year, but that guy's still very dangerous and garners the attention of opposing defenses and makes their lives a little bit harder. I don't see it there with that defense, and I don't think the connection of Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins is enough to make them a real threat in the NFC. I'll say a 4.
I'm going to put Minnesota actually just a skosh above Dallas. I'm going to give them a 7 if Danielle Hunter is there. If they have Hunter, I'm going to give them a shot at 7. They have offensive talent, man. They drafted Jordan Addison. Obviously, they have Justin Jefferson. I know they let Dalvin Cook walk. It's a calculated risk. They've got Madison, and it's the running back position. I always feel like a team could run the football.
I get not paying running backs. I understand the decision. I'm just saying when I look at that football team, I don't think they're better for it. Alexander Madison's a very good backup running back and a good 1-2 punch with Dalvin Cook. I don't think he's a guy that can carry the load in a backfield. And like I said, Dalvin Cook can just hurt you in so many different ways. He can catch it out of the backfield. He'll run around you. He'll run over you. He's a really, really dynamic weapon.
No denying that. But I think Kevin O'Connell, who is an offensive guy at heart, I'm going to trust him that he knows what he's doing. So I think they'll be able to run the football. Again, they've got so much talent at wide receiver. They likely win the North. I'm not a big believer in Detroit winning 10-plus games. We'll get to Green Bay in a minute. So they likely win the North, which gives them a chance. It gives them a really good chance of being a top 2 seed. Maybe even the 1 seed. Maybe. Kirk Cousins, not a huge believer in him. But
and by the way, he told the media today at their minicamps that they've shut down negotiations for a new contract. So he's going to play out the final year and hit free agency. That's another thing hanging over this team as this season plays out.
Green Bay Packers.
Oh, can I give you 2 different threat? Like if Jordan Love is
the guy,
if he's the guy, major threat, man. Like probably right up there with the Cowboys because that's a talented roster as well. We're talking about if Jordan Love is the guy, if they have three back to back Hall of Fame, franchise-type quarterbacks. A, I quit football as a Bears fan. But B, they're a legitimate threat, man. I'd put them at a 6 or a 7. If Jordan Love is what most guys look like in their first year as a starter, or even less than that, and isn't worth the first-round pick that they traded for to go and get him, not a threat at all. We're talking like a 3. That's how important the quarterback position is to what the Green Bay Packers do and the pieces that they have around the quarterback position. A lot of it won't work if Jordan Love isn't what they thought he was when they traded up to get him in the first round.
I'm going to split your difference. I'm going to go with a 5. Don't really believe in him. No idea with Jordan Love. Like you said, once you get to that 4-5 range, you don't really believe that they're a threat. You got to get past that 5. I'll give him a 5. I think they could do some things defensively, but yeah, I just have no idea with Jordan Love. The New Orleans Saints.
This is a team that is gaining more and more steam.
It's an interesting team.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
When you hear people talk about this offense with Carr and the connection that he has with the wide receivers, and if Alvin Kamara can get back on track, and their defense can cause some problems and get after quarterbacks. I'd put them, like I said, 6 is when you're in the rearview mirror. I see you. You're way back there. You're tiny. You're teeny tiny, but I still see you in the rearview. I don't know if I'd even put the New Orleans Saints quite there yet. They're around a 5 for me. You know what I mean? And there are a lot of teams in that pack around 4 and 5 as far as threat levels to the top teams in the NFC.
5's fine. Let's go to Seattle. Last one, the Seattle Seahawks.
Ooh, they're in the rearview. They're in the rearview just because I know John Schneider and Pete Carroll know how to do it. I know they know how to build a roster and they know how to put together winning game plans. And Pete Carroll knows how to rally his guys and get everybody on the same page. And they've quietly compiled some pretty dang good talent here in the last couple of years. And especially if Geno Smith can come anywhere close to replicating what he did last year. They could. I don't think they win the NFC West, but they could give the 49ers a run for their money in the West, where they need to win games late in the season to lock the thing up. I'll put them at a 6, right there in the rear view, way back, but they're in the rear view. I see them.
I'm pumping them tires. I'm giving them an 8.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Offensive firepower, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, DK Metcalf,
whoa,
Tyler Lockett. They've got good DBs, if not really good DBs, and young defensive backs. Pete Carroll's a good coach. They're one of those teams in the NFC, to me, that could be one of the biggest threats, if not the biggest threat, to these two teams.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the NFC, I think that speaks more about the NFC than it does for Seattle.
Yeah.
The NFC is not too sexy this year. A lot of question marks. The entire NFC South is a question mark. And the NFC East, the Commanders are Sam Howell starting quarterback. I don't know how he's going to look. I don't know who he is, what he is as an NFL quarterback. I think the Giants take a step back this year. The NFC West, the Rams are pretty much in the middle of a rebuild. The Arizona Cardinals stink. No one knows when Kyler Murray's coming back.
Yeah.
NFC West isn't, I mean, the NFC's not too good.
The West is a mess.
The North with Jordan Love now at Green Bay. Do you want to bet on Chicago, Detroit, or Green Bay, any of those teams?
No.
NFC's pretty damn bad. On paper, maybe they'll be much better than we expect.
I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. There will be a team. There will be an Eagles of this coming season that we're not really talking about now.
There usually is.
Or at least not in any serious way, who somehow, some way puts together a season where we go, huh? They're really good. That's a really good team right there. They could win a Super Bowl.
So there you have it. Some level of threats in the NFC for the Niners and Eagles.
That'd be cool if that was my Bears.
Am I a jerk that I see NBA Central tweet out a video of Shaq going to Home Depot and he bought a family a washer and dryer?
What do you mean, are you a jerk? Why would that make you
like
a
jerk? Because here's the point.
Uh-huh.
That's it?
He does that all the time, though, man. Like, he'll go to Target or Walmart and buy a kid a bike. You know what I mean? That's pretty great.
Tell me that adds up.
That's pretty awesome.
How much does it add up?
Yeah, like, but more, though.
He doesn't have to do any of this.
What's Shaq's net worth?
I don't know, but he doesn't have to do any of this.
I'm just joking.
Shaq got in a little, I wouldn't say trouble, but.
I'm just kidding.
As it regards to the Home Depot. I don't know if you saw that story.
I did not see it. But I love Shaq, so don't ruin me.
There was, no, I mean, it's nothing serious. He slid in the DMs of a girl who went viral for.
Is he going Zion?
posting a selfie of herself in
Home Depot style, baby.
Work uniform. He claimed he wasn't trying anything, just encouraging her to not listen to the haters.
Okay.
Do we all know about the Home Depot girl?
No. Apparently not.
Am I the only one who knows
none
about
of us are reacting,
the Home Depot girl?
All right. You're alone on that island.
Right. No, I know about her.
Oh, do you?
Okay. All right.
JJ just wants to
talk
about
I'm with you,
her.
Nick. It's okay.
That's not good for me.
Do a quick search. Home Depot girl.
I didn't even know what supermarket sweep was.
You'll be all caught up.
All right.
Such a hater.
Will Wembanyama be playing at the Cali Classic? We'll have that more in 90 seconds.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sactown Sports.
On the text line, Jim in Sacramento, Nick's irritated pause is comedy gold.
At what exactly?
You.
There are a few of those usually.
I'm just going to guess you.
Okay.
Since it happens.
Fair.
It could have been me. I make a great case today.
Yeah, now imagine working with both of you.
Double the fun.
You're lucky.
I feel like it could pause more, but I
just imagined it, and you are a lucky man. There's one of those pauses. There it is right there.
Totally.
Took me less than a minute.
But you are the absolute worst.
So proud of yourself right now in these moments. So proud of yourself.
Happy Friday, Rami.
Text line. The next time you're at the grocery store and hear that beep, beep, think of all the fun you could have on Supermarket Sweep.
Was that their slogan?
They said that at the end of every show.
I know what Supermarket Sweep is.
I'm not a big fan?
Never got into it.
How dare you? I'm more disappointed in you for not being a fan knowing the show than Simone not knowing the show.
Just wasn't my thing.
And it was before my time.
What does that even mean? And are you eating?
Just wasn't my thing.
Yes, you are, liar. I could hear it. You know me.
We ask Willie every day. I got to ask you, Simone.
My hearing when people are eating is like at a level 15.
What's for lunch today? What do we have?
I have heightened senses when it comes to people eating.
No, there's nothing. Okay. That was an apple I was enjoying.
Oh.
Oh, well, at least it was healthy. You don't always have the greatest track record back there when it comes to food.
My salads, my Chipotle. I'm not going to run through it all. Never mind. I'm going to turn this off.
I've seen pizza. You stunk it up yesterday, that production room with something.
That was Chipotle and I think some young men in the room. I lysed the room. Young testosterone just running around here. So
shots
she's talking about Nate and Kyle.
Simone just clearly said that the guys who work in that studio have BO issues.
Yeah, she said Nate and Kyle
just
need showers.
They're just young men. Just young men.
That's who gave it away, that you're talking about Nate and Kyle being funky.
Be a young man and not have BO.
I didn't say that.
I'd hope.
You said that.
Mm-mm.
You didn't say it, but you said it.
You said it. Only a couple people who were working in that studio yesterday. A couple of males in that studio.
Wow.
You weren't talking about Jay Mars because Jay Mars is clean out of there by 10.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Jay Mars.
I say best to know, though. You know, if I'm walking around funky, let me know so I can do something about it.
But maybe not live on a radio show.
No. No, there are better ways to do it than that.
Could send a text.
Yeah.
And you guys dropped their names. I did not.
Again, deductive reasoning leads us to the two young men who are working
wasn't that
in that
hard.
Studio.
My fridge reeked.
Got him.
All right.
By the way,
if you were hoping that Victor Wembanyama, Wemby, would be playing at the Cali Classic, you might want to lose all hope because reports are that he's not going to play in the Summer League. Not too surprising, Rami.
No, still a bummer, though.
Yeah,
bummer
it stinks.
Nonetheless.
It stinks. Apparently, it stinks like young producers here at Sactown Sports.
Oh, man, that's easy.
He's still playing, so got to give the young man a break. He's not going to play in France and then fly across the seas.
Yeah, because there apparently is no off season in
France, 12-month season.
In Europe, in European basketball. I said this when we were talking about Vezenkov. And you know, it dawned on me, that's probably why, like, even winning an NBA title is just like ho-hum another game for Nikola Jokic. Because growing up, there was always just another game. Like, you'd win a championship, and there was another tournament to go and play, like, a week later. So,
well, it's that, and he's incredibly focused on betting on his horses.
There's that also, yes. But no, that is a bummer that Wemby won't be playing in the summer league.
No Wemby. Meanwhile, Cattles and Rami.
Freak display on display, all that freak athleticism.
Sacktown Sports here on a Wednesday. Bobby Jackson is leaving the organization. Bobby is heading to the Philadelphia 76ers to be part of Nick Nurse's new staff in Philly. And here was Bobby speaking with Sean Cunningham, our friend, about how this came about.
Just relationships that I've had with Nick that I built with him for the last couple of years. You know, I was kind of intrigued how he came through the G League, became a head coach, coach of the year, won an NBA championship. So a couple of years when I took the G League job, I reached out to him, and from there, our relationship just continued to grow, and like I said, man, I'm super excited to be heading to Philly.
Here was Bobby on Nick Nurse himself.
I mean, man, I'm learning from one of the best coaches to touch this surface, but also coaching the NBA, and I think that's something that you want to be a part of, right? And he's done a phenomenal job with picking his staff, and I'm super excited that he gave me the opportunity to come to Philadelphia, and he sees something, and I'm not going to let him down.
Finally, Bobby was not going to walk away from Sean without addressing Sacramento and the love that he has for this city.
It's different. It's difficult. I've been in Sacramento for 23 years, and Sac is always going to be home to me. I'm going to keep my house here, and I'm still a true Kings fan, right? And I want to see them do well. But this next chapter in my life is all about me developing, trying to reach my goals to become a head coach, but also, you know, jump into an organization that wants to win the NBA championship.
Safe to say that Bobby is probably not a Mike Brown guy. Mike Brown picked his staff last year. You can have like 100 assistants in the NBA. Did you see Atlanta staff? Atlanta has like 100 assistants. And Brown picked his staff last year. And everybody has stayed put. Jordy did not leave. If Jordy left to go to Toronto when he was a finalist there, if Jordy ended up with the Raptors, then he might have taken a couple of assistants here in Sacramento with him to Toronto to higher positions, so to speak, and then maybe Bobby could have slid on the bench, possibly. But this is an opportunity to grow professionally for Bobby Jackson in the NBA, and he wasn't going to get that here.
Yeah. The guy won Coach of the Year in the G League this year, so he wasn't going to stick around for very much longer. The dream is never to coach in the G League, and somebody was going to come a call in to put Bobby Jackson on their staff. And you're right, Nick. It probably wasn't going to be Mike Brown because guys, they have their guys. When you talk about coaches and their staffs, and Bobby Jackson preceded Mike Brown before he got here to Sacramento, I say good for Bobby Jackson, man. Good for him that he's advancing and getting on a veteran NBA champion coach's staff to go and learn under him and hopefully advance it that much more. I would think this is a loss for the Kings. You know what I mean? Good coaches are hard to come by. Guys that are good enough to win a G League Coach of the Year. You know what I mean? That and you count on that more and more. I think when we've talked about like finding talent in unlikely places and mining talent, getting the most out of it. You'd hope that the G League team becomes more and more of a feeder system. So it's not an afterthought or something that is unimportant when you talk about losing Bobby Jackson and who exactly they're going to get to replace him.
Eno Saris will join us to discuss the A's reverse boycott and more coming up next. All right, we're waiting to hear from Eno Saris from
The Athletic.
Say it quick enough for you?
No, I knew you. I thought you blanked. I've had blanks, and you jump in and help.
Have
me.
You now?
I'm trying to help.
That's an issue.
I can't win around here.
Well, especially with blanks. MLB senior writer for The Athletic.
Yes, sir.
So, text line earlier giving me some advice. If you missed it, I began the show with about a 90-second rant about some clown who was in front of me with a truck bed that apparently had
gravel.
Pebbles and rocks and gravel in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the left lane, which is just stupid to begin with if you're driving that kind of a vehicle. Get in the right lane. Clown shit.
Is that a rule in California?
I don't know if it's a rule, but
It's not a law, but I mean a rule of thumb for safe driving.
Should definitely be a rule of thumb.
Faster traffic is on the left.
Yeah, no matter where you are, it should be that way.
All don't know how they teach drivers that. I didn't take it here.
And he kind of pumped the brakes in this gravel, small rocks, pebbles, all came flying out of his truck bed.
Have you gone out during a break?
No, I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
And a cascade of pebbles across my windshield as I'm going 70 miles an hour on the highway. And I just replaced this windshield literally weeks ago. And if there's a crack on my window outside, I'm distressed is not even the word. Anger.
I got to walk out there with you to witness that. I hope it doesn't happen. But
very angry. So there was a text.
I want to witness it.
And the text read, Nick, I'll tell you an easy way to deal with the rock problem. Carry a zero deductible on your automobile. Well.
Thanks, pal.
See text line.
Courtside Cattle's coming to a.
This done already happened this year. And already paid my $250 deductible.
Mm.
So good news, I guess, is if there's a crack, I'm going to get my windshield replaced for Zippo.
Take care of y'all chicken.
Bad news is I have gotten rear-ended twice in California, and I might have had my windshield cracked twice in California.
Ooh.
In a matter of...
What, 18 months, 19 months?
Less than that, my friend. It's been about 9 months, 10 months those things have happened.
Wait, that's all happened since I've gotten here?
Since you've been here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's been like the last 9 months.
Come to think of it, maybe it's me.
A term for pregnancy. My car's been hit twice, rear-ended, and... windshield hit by rock / pebbles twice.
It's rough. You've had a rough run.
I was in the middle of a phone call with my dad.
When the cascade of
I just started
hit your
screaming
windshield.
And yelling
That's nice.
And rampaging F-bombs.
That's great.
And he's like, what's going on? Listen, he's an Italian man from the Northeast.
He's heard that before.
I was speaking his language. He wasn't even alarmed. He was like, what's happening?
Like casual as could be. Everything all right?
If it was anybody else, it would have been like, are you okay? He was just like, what's wrong? What's happening over there? I'm like this, beep, 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 beep. I'm going losing my mind. So if that person happens to be listening.
He probably had tears of joy in his eyes.
Like, I hate you.
That's my boy. That's you're cursing up a storm.
That's my boy, Nick. Dad taught me at a young age.
It really is my son right there.
We were also talking about how the ESPN has been showing love to the Kings this week. And text line, hey, James from Pollock Pines. Hello, James from Pollock Pines.
Hi, James.
It's also a possibility that ESPN's looking at the possible moves, such as Sasha Vezenkov or Chris Murray, and thinking they will be better. I also think Sacramento is a free agent destination now. Yeah, we haven't really gotten to this point, but it's interesting because this offseason is going to be pretty busy. Teams can no longer just not spend money in the NBA. It's going to be a big no-no. So, theoretically, the Kings will have more competition for free agents this offseason. We'll see if that makes any difference or not. But we are joined now
Chelsea
on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, by Eno Saris, MLB senior writer at The Athletic. Eno, thank you for the time. It's much appreciated. I know you wrote a story about the reverse boycott last night. How impressive of a sight was that reverse boycott in Oakland?
It was great, and just a mix of emotions. Just so many. I was hanging out with fans, and there's anger. There was a lot of F. John Fisher chants, and then there was at the end, they were throwing their beers on the field. But, you know, there was also sadness. You know, this might be the last time we're all here together doing this. Happiness, though, to be together, watching a game. And happiness for the players because it's been a while since they'd had that kind of support. And you could see it on their faces. Trevor May, when he got the save, when he got the final outs, he was pumped. And people were trying really hard, playing really hard. So, just a really all-around interesting experience. Nothing I've ever experienced before. Almost, I think, like a baseball funeral.
And, you know, it got the attention of the whole baseball world. If you follow baseball people on Twitter and you were on there yesterday, it was the number one trending topic, you know, and a lot of people going, man, it sure is a shame what's going on in Oakland right now, and this is bad for baseball, and man, I hope they can save the A's. Is it just me, Eno, or has this gone largely unnoticed in the baseball world? And maybe had the national attention been there earlier, we wouldn't be at the point we're at now.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I think maybe some people just put it in the realm of, hey, they're rebuilding, you know, and then we've had other teams rebuild and they don't have that many fans. And so maybe people thought, yeah, the A's are rebuilding. That's what it's like. But they're down to 8,000 fans a game this year. And, you know, that's bad for rebuilding. That's bad for the A's. It's bad for what they've done in the past. In fact, I looked back at 2000 to 2005. They used to draw in the middle of the pack with the American League. In 2018 and 2019, they were good again, and they were at the bottom of the American League still. So I looked at all the factors, the Warriors, the rise of the Warriors, the Giants, mm-hmm. economic factors, everything I could look at. It kind of pointed back to the way the owner treated the fans and the market. As soon as he took over full ownership, things like dollar days, dollar hot dogs, those promotions were gone. When he took over, they went from having a 20th ranked payroll to a 28th ranked payroll. When he took over, the basic necessities at the ballpark took a dive. And so I kind of think this has a little bit of shades of Major League to it. You know, like I kind of think he did this on purpose. He played a slow game and he kind of made it look like baseball couldn't work in Oakland, but he was undermining Oakland the whole time.
Slumlord is what I've called him, Eno with us, Harry Dosaris from The Athletic. You just talked about the attendance. Do you believe, as much as the A's are trying to sell the Nevada State Senate on the idea that they're going to achieve average attendance in Vegas around 27,000 people a night?
No, I don't believe it, because they're going from the 10th biggest media market, and yes, they're sharing with the Giants, but they've proven in the past that they can be middle of the pack there. They're going to the 40th biggest media market. Vegas is automatically the smallest market in baseball. And I know that they say, like, oh, we'll have like tourists and stuff. I don't know, man. I looked at like Yankees games attendance in Oakland over time. And that dropped in half from the early 2000s to recently. I don't even think Yankees fans necessarily want to watch the A's. You know what I mean? it kind of takes two teams to have a quality game. And I honestly also don't think, I've been to Vegas plenty of times, and I've never thought, oh, I really needed to add a baseball game to this experience. You know?
Yeah.
It's gambling. It's drinking. It's debauchery. It's nightlife. It's not 1 o'clock and 98 degrees. You know. The other thing that I think of is, if I'm a Yankees or Cubs or Blue Jays fan, I'm not necessarily going to go to Vegas to see the Blue Jays. But if I was going to Vegas anyway, I might reschedule to a time that Toronto's there. But I don't think it's going to lead to a lot of extra tourists for Vegas. And I don't think depending on tourists is a good way to go. The Knights, for example, do really well. The Vegas Knights, that they were an expansion team. They have T-shirts born in Vegas. That's their team. They own that team, and it's powered by local enthusiasm and local attendance, not by people coming in from out of state.
Like you said, you took a thorough look at what has happened to baseball in Oakland and ticket sales, and it seems like 2013 was almost a turning point or an inflection point. And a lot of factors, like you said, play into it. Do you think whether it's, a last second Hail Mary that saves the A's and keeps them in Oakland somehow, or if it's a team that comes in and replaces the A's in Oakland, can that city get back to being the type of baseball town that it was in 2013 and before that, and especially in the early 2000s?
My solution is this. Let them go to Vegas. It looks like it's happening. Let that happen. Don't let them get the A's. They don't get the A's. They get a new team. Fisher, it's owned by Fisher. It has a new name, whatever it is. It's a little bit like an expansion situation. They get their own team. Vegas gets their own team. The A's as an entity stay in Oakland, and Oakland immediately becomes one of the top three expansion candidates on the board. And so if an expansion team takes over in Oakland, they're the A's.
I like it.
Eno, thanks for the time. We appreciate it as always. Man, let's do this again soon. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thanks. There goes Eno Saris from The Athletic, MLB senior writer, of course. He was on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda is your one-stop Honda shop.
I really like that idea because it's a way to keep the A's in Oakland without the unrealistic hope that John Fisher isn't somehow attached to it or that you can somehow salvage this thing with the A's as they currently exist.
We got more coming up. So we were just talking about the Oakland A's future. Well, San Francisco Giants fans got a peek at their future today. Luis Matos was called up. If you're wondering who he is, he's been a fantastic prospect who's been hitting the cover off the ball for the Rivercats. Hit .398 at the AAA level this year. Had an OPS of 1.120. And, oh, by the way, he was also the youngest player in AAA while he was doing that at 21 years old. And he was brought up today because Mitch Haniger fractured his forearm. Sounds like he might go on the 60-day DL. And Alex Pavlovich tweeted this out about Matos. 21 years old. If you want to be super technical, and for this reason I will be, 21 years, 137 days is the youngest Giant to make his debut since Madison Bumgarner did it at 20 years, 38 days in 2009, so 14 years ago. He's the youngest position player since Connor Gillespie did it, 21 years, 53 days in 2008. His first major league at-bat, Rami, today, he had a hard single between shortstop and third base. He finished the day 1-for-3, but certainly looks like a very impressive young man that Giants fans should be excited about.
Looks like a stud. And like you said, Nick, was absolutely dominating the AAA level with the Rivercats. And here today and gone tomorrow because he was that good, along with the Haniger injury. But they were already talking about the fact that they weren't going to be able to keep him down there very much longer because he was that good. I saw some comments from Farhan Zaidi that said we might have to find a spot for this guy on the major league roster and in the everyday lineup because he was that good. I'm personally and selfishly disappointed because I wanted to go and check him out while he was still in town here in Sacramento and playing for the AAA club. I don't think I mean who knows with the way rosters are manipulated at the major league level, but if Haniger's injury, you said it's going to keep him out how long?
60, could be 60-day DL. Days. Yeah.
I don't think he's headed back to AAA or to Sacramento anytime soon.
I hope not.
Go check him out.
I have July 7th earmarked, Giants-Rockies, I believe.
Oh.
That Friday night in San Francisco. Kelly and I are flying out that next Saturday morning out of San Francisco. So I think we're going to see the Giants game on that Friday night.
Ooh.
Before we take a trip to Tampa that weekend. So hopefully Matos is still there. Hopefully he's healthy and all that good stuff. Also, as we whip around the sports world with an update, the Vegas Knights. We've been talking about the Vegas A's. Well, the Vegas Knights of the NHL won the Stanley Cup last night. Big time. Big time win for Vegas. They absolutely humiliated the Florida Panthers. They scored 9 goals last night in the deciding game. Here was Mark Stone last night of the Knights talking about the feeling he had for winning the cup.
What did it feel like when you were handed the Stanley Cup by the commissioner?
Unbelievable. Just looked in my teammates' eyes when I got it. One of the craziest feelings I've ever had. Best to know that I did it with my 25, 30 best friends. Makes it that much more special.
So not necessarily the Nikola Jokic reaction after winning a title. A little bit more emotional.
Can I go
and
home
pumped.
Now?
Yeah, a little bit different than that.
We're done working, right? Can we go home?
So here's the cool thing about, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I know there's not a lot of hockey fans out there listening, but here's the cool thing. The Knights, they were founded in 2017. So you're talking about a team that is 6 years old.
Yeah, that's crazy. And this is the second Stanley Cup Finals they've been to, right? And they make it and lose in their inaugural year? And that's
what I've said inaugural. About, you know, you got the Golden Knights winning a cup this soon after being brought into the league. And that's because, you know, the NHL expansion setup is great. You get all these players from around the league. Teams have to protect certain guys. So these teams end up with some pretty good talent.
Is it so their expansion setup is different from other leagues where you just get to pick off like the scrap heap?
I just
got to
protect,
teams?
But it's a little bit more difficult and stuff. And obviously the hockey salary cap is different and just the way the league is. But you have a better chance, a decent chance of making a difference quickly as an expansion hockey team than you do in any other sport. At least that's been pretty much the history so far. Also, talk about golf. Rami's friend Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA, he is now on a leave. The PGA says it's a medical situation. Now, I don't want to make light of anybody's medical situation. The timing is interesting.
Convenient.
It could lead you to the idea of a possible conspiracy theory here.
It did lead me to that idea.
Yeah, as Monahan is getting absolutely dragged across the country as a terrible commissioner.
I mean, he has been taking a pummeling.
Yes.
Since the announced merger that's not a merger between LIV and the PGA. So he could indeed be feeling the effects.
Didn't help himself with the 9/11 answers that he gave.
No, he did not.
So now a medical situation has popped up. Again, not going to make light of it. Not saying it's not real.
Thoughts
not saying
prayers.
It's not legit. But it is very interesting timing. And speaking of the PGA and LIV Golf, at the U.S. Open, Rory and Brooks Koepka are going to be part of the same group as they tee off. And that is delicious.
Didn't they almost get into like a physical altercation at an event recently?
Not necessarily friendly with each other.
Didn't Koepka flick a tee at him when they were out practicing on the driving range or something like that? And some people had to get in between the two of them?
Here's a question for you. If Brooks Koepka and Rory McIlroy got into a fist fight on the course during the U.S. Open, good or bad for golf?
Oh, great for golf.
Agree.
I thought you were going to ask me who was going to win. And
yeah, totally agree.
Koepka looks like more of a brawler than Rory
Dude,
does.
You can never go off
no,
the
you
size.
Never know. You never know. I'm Come just on. Saying he looks like more of a brawler. That's about the size of the dog in the fight.
No? Rory might be a grappler. He might be a jiu-jitsu guy. We don't know.
That's true. That is true.
Maybe some taekwondo in his background. We have no idea.
Know. Next thing you know, he's on Brooks Koepka's back. Chokehold locked in.
TKO.
Heels locked in. He's got the hook set in.
Maybe he sweeps the leg and takes an arm.
Never know. I'm just saying, based on appearance.
And golf would probably like suspend them for the rest of the year, which would just be like, what are you doing?
It'd be great for that Netflix show.
The game of golf.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, what is that?
Full Swing?
Yeah.
Full Swing.
I haven't watched that.
I haven't either.
Amazing.
I haven't watched it.
It's amazing. Simone, you're a big golf fan, though.
Yeah.
So amazing for non-big, huge golf fans or just okay?
I think it's really interesting. If you can draw interest from documentaries, then yes, absolutely.
I mean, it increased the popularity of F1 like tenfold.
Yeah, I watched the F1 series as well, and I really got that in.
And now Netflix is fully in on the sports doc, the real-time sports doc series.
Speaking of Vegas, quickly see that Tabitha Mueller is tweeting out about the amendment for SB1. Andrew Hobner quote tweeted that, and Andrew is with CBS Sacramento. And he tweeted, "So unless I have it wrong, the only major changes in the bill is that the money earmarked to Clark County for homelessness prevention is now going to a state fund that will provide low-income housing in general." That's his read of it.
Cool.
Oh, you're sexy.
Fixed everything.
So,
pass that bill.
Top spots next.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sactown Sports.